Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. Now, y'all, first, I would like to begin our message this evening with Happy Mother's Day, which, of course, will arrive in just a few days. Y'all, in 1914, a woman from West Virginia named Anna Jarvis, she spearheaded a campaign to help persuade United States President Woodrow Wilson to set aside May's second Sunday as National Day for recognizing mothers all over the world. She orchestrated a letter-writing campaign to Wilson, lobbied influential politicians and clergymen, and also distributed brochures arguing about the importance of a National Day for Mothers. Anna's cause, it came from her admiration for her mother. Anna, she had others like her who also did the same. But as the early 1920s arrived, she was sickened by the commercial circus that was surrounding the annual event. She felt, that the day had nothing to do with celebrating the real achievement of women. She simply wanted a day to honor and remember mothers. But in her mind, it didn't turn out that way. It turned out that the one, who was credit for giving us Mother's Day, she was the same woman, who campaigned to have it removed from the calendar. And the reason was due, to the commercialism of cards, flowers, and once a year sincerity. Anna, she spent her latter days crashing floor companies' conventions in order to protest and also urging card companies to give the money that they made from Mother's Day to the poor. Sounds like a compassionate mother to me. But at one Mother's Day convention, where flowers was being sold, she was arrested for disturbing the peace. She even launched a lawsuit to stop a Mother's Day festival from being held. In the end, Anna, she lost the fight. The woman, who really had never had any children of her own, she exhausted all of her financial resources and ruined her mental health in that fight. She died alone in 1948 in an asylum at the age of 84. Just before her death, Anna, she told a local reporter, she said, "I devoted my entire life to Mother's Day, and the racketeers and grafters have taken it over." Anna Jarvis's motive for having a recognition day for mothers, it was to honor y'all to remember mothers for their achievements. I believe, that her motives for fighting to have it removed, it was for the same reason, in order, to honor and remember mothers for their achievements. Your mothers, they don't deserve y'all to be honored for one day only, just to be neglected for the rest of the year. Your God's creative plan to bring love and caring to light is through the mother. Your mother's is a very special day in the hearts of many people in this world. Hallmark, they estimate that 150 million Mother's Day cards will be sent out this year, but only 95 million Father's Day cards. Your Mother's Day is the third largest greeting card holiday of the year. We United States Americans, we spend an average of $105 on Mother's Day gifts, $90 on Father's Day gifts. The phone rings more often on Mother's Day than Father's Day. The busiest day at the car wash, the Saturday before Mother's Day. You see, what moms think, still matters. Today, we're going to look at three passages, in the Word of God, where we're going to be able to read about women or our mothers who perform, the greatest feats. That would even make a man shudder if he was dealing with the same situation as these women. First, let's look at the woman, who fearlessly defied the king. This story is going to be found in Exodus, the first chapter, verse 15 through 22. Now, I have a request before we move into this, and that is, when this message is all said and done and you have time later in the evening, read these passages that I'm going to share and get the grasp of the doctrinal perspective of the Spirit when you see the greatness of the courage and character of these women. So as I give these passages of these three different concepts, please do go and check them out later. So again, we're talking about though two women, it's not one, two women who defied the king of Egypt. And this is in Exodus 1st chapter, 15th through the 22nd verse. Now, you know, these women, they were in the midst of enemy territory. And, you know, they were bold and courageous in their convictions. I mean, they were, you know, willing to face whatever the consequences would come as a result of their actions. Because, see, they knew, you all, with confidence and conviction that what they were doing, you all, was the right thing to honor God. It was a display of courage and bravery. You know, if only they were, you all, soldiers or warriors in armor. I mean, their behavior, you all, it was a display of courage. You all, midwives, Sapphira and Pua, you know, they were given the task, you all, to help Hebrew women in childbirth. But the king of Egypt, he ordered them, you all, to kill every boy that was to be born. The killing of an infant, you all, was far from the heart of Sapphira and Pua, because they feared God. So, you know, they fearlessly defied the king of Egypt. You know, they did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. You know, they let the boys live. You know, the potency of a mother's love is found in their reverence to God. You know, they defied the king's order for the sake of obeying God. You know, they feared God. You know, this is why, you know, they didn't do the ungodly deed that they were ordered to perform. You know, to fear God, you all, is to understand what God wants us to do. And in turn, you all, we understand what God wants us to be. You see, we hate hurting people, y'all. We hate seeing people get hurt. Y'all, we hate to take advantage of others. Proverbs, y'all, the 9th chapter, 11th and 12th verse, it says, wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. If you become wise, you will be the one who benefits. But if you scorn wisdom, you will be the one who suffers. Y'all, because Sapphira and Pura feared God, y'all, the people of Israel, they increased in numbers, multiplying, growing more and more powerful. And also, your God, he blessed Sapphira and Pua with families of their own. We can read that in the 21st verse and the first chapter. Now, y'all, let's observe another brave and courageous woman. Y'all, this woman, we're going to look at her. She is a woman who had a childlike faith. And we can find that in 1 Samuel, 1st chapter, 3rd through the 20th verse. Now, y'all, the personality of this passage is Elkanah. Now, Elkanah, y'all, he had two wives, Peninnah, of course, who was fruitful, and Hannah, y'all, who was barren and childless. But, y'all, Elkanah, he loved Hannah more than he did Peninnah. You see, back, y'all, under the Mosaic law, multiple marriages were permitted. However, y'all, in Matthew, the 19th chapter, verse 4 through 8, y'all, Jesus, he made it very clear that God's original plan, y'all, was the marriage of one man to one woman. But Elkanah, y'all, he was a very religious man. Every year, y'all, he would take his family to Shiloh to worship and offer sacrifices to the Lord. Peninnah, she would repeatedly, y'all, taunt Hannah for her barrenness until Hannah would cry and refuse to eat. In the mind, y'all, of Hebrew women, to have children, it was a sign of God's blessings. And to not have children, it was a source of shame. So Hannah, y'all, she would cry because of Peninnah's continued ridicule. Y'all, Hannah, she did not fight back. But this time, y'all, she decided to take the matter to the Lord. Y'all, in her deep anguish, y'all, she presented her frustrations before God, crying bitterly as she prayed. Your reverence produces humility. In a submissive way, Hannah, y'all, she humbled herself before God, saying, look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Verse 11, y'all, Hannah was sorrowful for her childlessness, which every Hebrew woman dreaded. Y'all, this passage, it captures the agony of a Hebrew woman in deep anguish and sorrow. Over the fact that she, y'all, being a wife, felt so useless, like a child, she bowed and cried unto God, look upon your maid servant. Y'all, what a humble, submissive way of referring to herself in the presence of her superior, sovereign God. Y'all, from humility comes persistency. with persistency, Johanna, she was so determined to do something about her anguish. Johanna, she was pleading with God. She vowed a vow. Hannah was so persistent, she told God, she said, give me a son. Not that I will laugh at Peninnah, but a son who will be given back to you. And he will be living your way of living all of his life. Johanna promised that she will give him back, dedicating him, to God's service at the tabernacle. Now, in the course of time, the Lord, he answered Hannah's prayer. She conceived, and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel. Now, let's look finally at the mother, who was compassionate. This is in 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, 16th through the 28th verse. Although, the theme of this passage is the wisdom of King Solomon, but, it underscores, the love of a mother. What the passage helps us to see, is the principle of maternal love as the basis for King Solomon in finding the truth. And that, is what King Solomon apt to be when he made, the decision to who the real mother of the living child was. Solomon, he didn't have the benefit of DNA. So he employed, an unconventional method, and yet ingenious, was to solve the problem. The passage reveals to us, two kinds of mothers. Now, let us take a look at the difference between the two. Now, before we say that, let me say this. Although, this is a sacred time in our societal structure, which, of course, is honoring and celebrating our mothers, we're all aware, that God, he requires us, to adjust to the Word of God and not, expect the Word of God to adjust to us. And I say that because, as a messenger of the Lord, I'm obligated, to disclose, in spite of this sacred and momentous period. I'm commissioned to share, the doctrine of the attributes of this first mother. Now this first mother, as we compare her to the other mother, unfortunately, and we shouldn't say anything that is not positive during this phase, but again, obligation says we must hear. So the first mother, unfortunately, was a negative mother. She made a whole lot of mistakes. Now in verse 19, apparently, this first mother, she laid her baby, by her side without even thinking, that she might roll over on her. She didn't even care if she, lay on her child or not. She was heartless, cruel, and a careless mother. But she was also, deceitful. In verse number 20, she lied to her roommate by tricking her, and making it appear that the living baby was hers. And she was not only, deceitful, but she was also a thief. Robbing the first mother of the most precious possession that anyone can ever have, their child. And finally, she was cold-hearted. What else can we say about a mother who finds their own child dead in bed, and instead of giving the baby a decent burial, what did she do? She switched the two babies. And when King Solomon asked for a sword to cut the baby in half, although we know, that was not the king's true and real intention, this woman heartlessly said this. She said, neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two. These are the kinds of mothers, who are characterized by the spirit of selfishness. These types of personalities, they would take advantage of others, whenever they have a chance to do so. Now, let's look at the other mother, and I'm happy to be off of that. Now this second mother, she was a caring mother. She had her baby, on her breast, even at sleep. This is why, when the other woman baby died, she put the dead baby on this woman's breast. We can surmise, that this caring mother, she would always nurse her baby, who was always wrapped in her loving embrace. Her habit was to feed her baby as soon as she wakes up in the morning. See that in verse 21. She was compassionate. Verse 26. Upon hearing, the king's verdict was to cut the baby in two. She pitied her baby. This woman, her genuine love for her child was to see, that no harm would ever come near him. She was willing to give her baby up to another woman for as long as the child or baby stays alive. You're the real mother would rather see another woman raise her child than to see the baby cut in half. She said, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him. Verse 26. These are the kinds of mothers, who are characterized by the spirit of self-sacrificial love. Now, no price is too great. Even if it meant separation from her own child, she was willing, to give up her own desire to keep the child alive. Mothers, they can't offer perfect love, but they can offer sacrificial love. But what is sacrificial love? What does it look like in real life? Let me share a true story with us that happened during the Holocaust. Solomon Rosenberg, his wife and their two sons, they were arrested and placed in a concentration camp. The rules were simple. As long as they did their work, they were permitted to live. However, when they became too weak to work, they would be exterminated. Rosenberg, he watched his mother and father march off to their deaths. And he knew, that his youngest son, David, would be next, because he had always been a frail child. Every evening, Rosenberg, he'd come back into the barracks after his hours of hard labor. He would, search for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, they would embrace one another, and they would thank God for another day of life. One day, he came back, and he didn't see those familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, sobbing and praying. Josh, tell me it's not true. Josh turned to his dad and said, it's true, Dad. Well, then the day David, he was not strong enough to do his working, and so they came and they took him away. Mr. Rosenberg then said, but where is your mother? Joshua could barely speak, and he finally uttered, well, Dad, when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried. And so Mom, she took him by the hand and she went with him. You're talking about sacrificial love. Think about that, y'all. How many times, have we bought ourselves new clothes when our mom still wore the same old ones? She would wake up in the middle of the night, and all we thought about was milk and cookies. In difficult times, when there were six hungry people at home, you only see five plates on the table, only to hear Mom say, I'm not hungry after all. She not only ironed our clothes, but she ironed out the problems we had with our siblings. She stayed awake at nights, listening for coughing and crying. Are you coming in too late from a party? She's up very early the next day to make sure we all had breakfast before we headed off to school. She's as gentle as a dove, yet she had the eye of an eagle and the roar of a lion. Think about it, y'all. Who assisted you in your homework when you couldn't find the answers? Who instructed you on your first date? Who protected you from the next door neighbor's mean dog? Who guarded you from the terrors of thunderstorms and the scary tales of hurricanes? Who washed your clothes, although her hands was wrinkled from the water? Who scratched your back when you couldn't reach the itch? And who carried you for 9 months and basically made sure that you are here today? Now, let me say this, and I do this, in all due respect. I do not know what your situation with your mom is. But here's what I do know. All of us are fallen and sinful beings. We all stand, before God in need of his grace. And that grace, which is basically bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ, it erases all of our past and future sins. No one is better than anyone. We all exist under God's sustaining grace. No one is perfect but God alone. So I say, please, be reconciled with your mom. If there is a conflict between the two of you, if Christ has reconciled you back with the Father in heaven, so did he reconcile you with others. So, if there is a conflict with moms, please go home, pick up the phone, yes, that phone, and tell your mom these four words: Mom, I love you. And tell her, y'all, as if you're saying it to Jesus. Now, you're my mother, she's no longer with me. But if my mother was still with me today, you all, I'm certain these are the words that I will say. For all of the things that I didn't say about how I felt along the way, for the love you gave and the work you've done, here's appreciation from your loving son. You cared for me, a little tot, but all I did was cry a lot. As I grew, your work did too. I ran and I fell and got black and blue. I grew some more, and it didn't stop. Now you had to become a cop to worry about the mistakes I'd make. You kept me in line for my own sake. I got older and the stories repeated. You were always there whenever I needed. You guided me and wished me the best. I became wiser and I knew I was blessed. For all of the time, Mom, I didn't say the love I felt for you each day. Mom, read this so you'll always see just how much you mean to me. Mom, happy Mother's Day, and thank you for everything. To all of our mothers who are under the sound of my voice this evening, we have come out this evening to honor you, to thank God for you. We thank God for your love. We thank God for your commitment, your guidance, your sacrifices, your protection. And we thank God for your God-like spirit. And we ask that God will grant you that same love, that it may surround and empower your soul in comfort. And so therefore we ask God to also bring peace and comfort and tranquility to your soul. And whatever your heart's desire during this phase, we pray that God will bestow it upon you. So again, we say to you, mothers, happy Mother's Day. And may God bless you. May God keep you, is our prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.